Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Yud Aleph. We begin about 14 lines from the top already with the words Amar Shmuel. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Sigmund Frucht, Yisrael ben Moshe Nisan HaKohen, whose yahrzeit is today. He's in Shamshad and Aliyah from our learning, as well as we continue to learn for the safety of all the Chayalim, the Kochas HaBitochon, that are engaging in a Mochemes Mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael to protect all of Klai Yisrael. Hashem should return them all safely and healthy, the Ezes Hashem, with the hostages b'mehera. We start the Gemara today with the words Amar Shmuel, 14 lines down from the top on Yud Aleph from an Aleph. Now, we had learned in yesterday's Shia that the damage that was done to the Nizak, let's say his cow was killed, so the carcass of the cow has a certain value to it. And that is given to the Nizak. He retains that, and the Mazik under those situations just has to pay the difference between what the cow was worth while it was alive and what the cow is worth now that it's dead. But the carcass, the trouble and the ownership of that carcass still belongs to the Nizak. So in my example from yesterday, let's say the cow is worth $500 and the carcass is worth $50. So then the Mazik just has to pay him $450. He doesn't have to pay him $500 and then he has to dispose of the carcass himself. No, he can say to the Nizak in this situation, based upon the psukim that we brought down from yesterday, it is the Nizak's responsibility. He still owns that carcass, and therefore the Mazik can deduct the value of the carcass from the total value that he owes him and just pay him the difference. That's what we learned in yesterday's shir. And today, Amar Shmuel says that that's true, that we go and allow the Nizak to retain the possession of that, and we make him retain the possession of that, and we don't make the Mazik have to go and take that and pay the full value. That's only true for a Nizak. But Ein Shomim Lo Liganov V'Lo Ligazlon. Shmuel says that if somebody stole something and now has to return it, and the animal died, so in that situation, we don't say he gives back the dead animal and he just has to pay the difference between what the live animal is worth and what the dead animal is worth. No, he has to be Matriach himself to go take care of the dead carcass if he's the Ganov or if he's the Gazlon. If he stole it either surreptitiously or he forcibly took it, Ganav or Gazan, we don't give him the benefit of saying, well, the Nizak can have the carcass, and I just have to make up the difference. So that's what Shmuel tells us, Ein Shomim Lo Liganav, the Lo Ligazla. Rashi explains over here that this was the minog of the Dayanim, She'ein Shomim Lo Liganav, the Lo Ligazla. In other words, Shim Gonav, the Gazal, the Hema, Okelim, the Nivchasu, Etzlo, and they decreased in price, so they died or they were damaged. So Ein Shomim Hanevelo Vashvarim Libalim Shiachsu Ganav HaBachas. As we pointed out, we don't say that you return those items to the person that you stole from and say, well, here's 1/10 of the price that I stole from you, and I'll just make up the other 9/10. Here's the $50 you get back from the carcass. I just have to pay you $450. Or if it was a chair that he stole and it broke, well, here the chair's worth firewood, $5. I don't have to pay you the rest of the entire $50. I just have to give you $45 for the rest of the chair. Eli Yishalim Behema Vekelim Meulim Vashvarim Shalom. Say that the Ganav of the Gazlan has to go pay the full value of the behemoth of the Kalim for arguments that he returns him a cow, he returns him a full non-broken chair, and he gets to keep the Shvarim. The Ganav of the Gazlan, he keeps the broken pieces and uses them for firewood. He keeps the carcass and sells it for dog food or whatever he sells it for. So that is the minhag of the Dayanim. That's what Shmuel tells us. However, that's only that we go and say that the Nizak keeps it, Elul Nizakin. There we only allow the Mazik, so to say, to benefit by saying to the Nizak when he damages him. And then Shmuel adds on his own, Vani Omer Af L'Shoel. I say the same din applies also to a Shoel. For the Nizak, we're Shomin. For the Ganav and the Gazlan, we're not Shomin. We don't evaluate. We just say, you have to suffer the entire loss, Ganav and Gazlan, and you'll pay the full amount. And Shmuel comes along and says, L'Shoel, a person who borrows something and then it loses its value in the hands of the person who borrowed it, so he has to go pay for it. He's only not obligated to pay for Mesa Machmas Malacha. The animal dies while it's being normally worked, then he's potter. But for everything else, even onsen, the shoal is chayiv. So here, let's say it has a pachas, it's gone down in value. So Shmuel says, af l'shoal, also for the shoal. And he says, the Abba is always Rav, either Rav's real name was Abba, or he called him a title of respect, father, the great God Lador. In any event, the Abba modeli, Shmuel says, Rav also agrees with me. Now the question is, what did Shmuel actually say? Did he say, and that's what the Gemara now asks, And Beis Medrash, they asked, what was Shmuel's statement? Did he say, Hachi Kamar, Af L'Shoel Shamim, the Abba Modeli? He says that for a Shoel, we also treat it like a Nizak, and we give the Shoel the better hand, so to say, that the person he borrowed it from has to take back the carcass, has to take back the broken chair, and then the Shoel just has to make up the difference between what it was worth alive and what it's worth now as a carcass. So he would only have to pay him $450. He wouldn't have to give him the $500 in my example, because he would say, you have the carcass, that's $50, and I only have to pay you $450. Is that what Shmuel says? Af l'shoel, that we also do the shamim like we do with nizakin, or maybe not. Or maybe this is what Shmuel is saying. Vani omer af l'shoel ein shamim. No, a shoel is treated like a ganav or a gazlan. Tosos explains later on because, in fact, he's chayev the same things that the ganav and gazlan is chayev for. In fact, he's chayev even for more. And therefore, just like we don't help out the ganav of the gazan at all, so we don't help out the shoel at all. So the afani, when Shmuel says af l'shoel, it means ein shamim, that we don't do this benefit for the shoel, and he has to take the broken pieces of the chair or the carcass of the animal, and he has to pay the full amount to the person that he borrowed it from. And Shmuel had said, v'abba modli, and Rav agrees with me. So what does Shmuel mean when he says af l'shoel? So first we're going to say that he means that it's like nizakin. So Toshma, the Hau Gavra, the once as a person, the Shol Nargo Michavri, who borrowed an axe from his friend, this is Gemara in Bava Metzia, and Tavra, the axe broke because he was poshed. It wasn't Mesa Machmas Melacha. It wasn't while he was chopping wood that the axe broke. He didn't treat the axe properly. He didn't do with it what he's supposed to do, and the axe broke. So he's Chayim because of Pshia. So they brought this as a Din Torah to Rav, also the Kami de Rav. What do we do? Now, the axe, the broken axe, could be used as firewood, could be used as scrap metal, whatever it was. So it was worth $5. And the axe, when it was full, was worth $50. So the question was, did the shoel have to pay $50 and keep the shvurim himself, or did he only have to give him $45 and tell the person who lent him the axe, here's your broken pieces of axe, that's $5, and I owe you $45. That's what they went to Rav, and Amalei, Rav said to this shoel, Zil Shalom Le Nargo Ma'alya. Go and pay him the entire value of the Narga. In other words, you keep the Shvarim. So Shmami no ain't Shamin. So let us learn from this din that Rav Paskin, and Shmuel says, Rav agrees with me, so Mastama Shmuel Paskin's the same way, that ain't Shamin, that we don't give the Shoel the benefit of the doubt in this situation. He doesn't get the privilege, if you wish, to say, I only have to pay you $45, you keep the $5 worth of broken pieces, but no. The shoel has to take the $5 worth of broken pieces, and he has to give a new axe or $50 to the one he borrowed it from. So this seems to answer our question. How does Shmuel hold when he says af l'shoel? So it means the shoel is treated like a ganav and a gazlan, ein shamin. Where it says no, opposite, exact opposite, adraba. In fact, pumfakert me the army le Rav Kahana Rav Asi Rav. After this din was paskin, Rav Kahana and Rav Asi went to Rav, and he said, and they said to him, really, dina hachi? Rebbe, is this really the way that you're asking? Now, Rav Kahana is a great, great Amori. He's a Talmud Chaver of Rav. And Rav Asi is a major Eretz Yisrael Amora, first generation Amora, main Talmud of Rav Yochanan. And he also learned by Rav. So these were senior Talmidim of Rav. So if they questioned Rav, he would answer them. But Rav was shosik. Rav didn't answer them, implying shtiko keldor. He says, Taki, you're right. That, in fact, we should have allowed the shoel to only pay $45 back, and he could have given the shvarim, the broken pieces of the axe, to the original owner and said, okay, now I owe you $45 because you got $5 back in terms of scrap metal or firewood. So, shmami no, shamin. So, pum fakir. Instead of learning from here, ain't shamin, let us learn from here, in fact, that we are shamin. And that's how the Gemara concludes with the opinion of Rav Kana Rav Asi. But now, do we really passing like this or not? So they said in the base medish, Idmar, Amar Ul Amar Rabbi Elazar. So Ul is saying Rabbi Elazar. And this is very important that it's Ul is saying Rabbi Elazar, because we're going to bring this statement down, and then we bring six additional statements down because Ul is said in the name Rabbi Elazar. As I mentioned many times, Torah Shabbat Peh. The Gemara, they learned all this by heart. Baruch Hashem, we have a Gemara to look at. Many people have an art scroll to look at. They have the Korin Gemara to look at. They have a Oz V'Hadar Gemara to look at. Baruch Hashem, we're learning it inside with all these wonderful resources. They did this all by heart. And as a result, whenever they could come up with ways to help memorize them, so they would list all the members that Ula said they were Belazar, a whole bunch of them, they would list them together. So we're going to have seven members, Ula, Amar, Belazar. This is the first one. So Ula said to Rabbi Elazar, Shamim Liganov Uligaslan, that we in fact do go and evaluate over here for the Ganov and the Gazlan. Not like Shmuel said that we don't. He says, even for the Ganov and the Gazlan, they have the right to say, listen, I stole from you, I'm giving it back, it's broken. You take the broken pieces back, or you take the dead carcass back, and I'll pay you the difference. So in the example I'm giving with the shore, it's $500. So they give him back the carcass, and here's $50 the carcass, that's yours, and I owe you $450. So Shaman, even Ula Amar Blaza says, for the Ganav and the Goslin. Rapapi disagrees. Rapapi Amar ain't Shaman. No. Like Shmuel, we don't go and evaluate for them. How do we Paskin more says Vilhosa ain't Shaman Lola Ganav Lola Goslin? That for the Ganav and Goslin, we do follow this opinion of Rapapi, we follow the opinion of Shmuel, that we do not go and evaluate Shaman for a Ganav or a Goslin. However, Avol Shoel, we in fact are Shaman. We do. Like Kidrav Kahana, Ravasi, as Rav Kahana and Ravasi explain Shmuel and Rav's statement that they in fact also agree that we are Shaman for a Shoel. So that is the first statement that we have over here in the name of Ula Amar Blaza, and that gives us a tangent over here to go off and say six additional statements that Ula made in the name of Blaza. The first one of these six is Amar Ula Amar Blaza Shilya. Shilya is a what we call amniotic sac. That's the sac that encloses the fetus and has fluids in there and has other things in there as well. So this shilya, this amniotic sac that came out partially from a woman, shiyatzos or mitzasa, so part of the baby's amniotic sac was delivered. In other words, could there be baby in there or not? B'yom Rishon, it came out, let's say, right at the end of Sunday, on the first day. So it came out on Sunday, right before the Shkia. And the rest of the baby was delivered, u'miktsasa b'yom Sheni. Nebuch, this woman is suffering a miscarriage. It's not a live-born baby. So part of the amniotic sac came out, the shilya came out. There's no real baby Nebuch inside. It all got dissolved. So part of this sac came out on Sunday, right before the Shkia, u'miktsasa b'yom Sheni. And the rest of it came out Monday, Sunday night after the Shkia, or after Tzeisa Kochabim. So one part came out before the day is over, and one part came out when the next day already started. So there's Tumas Leida in this situation. The woman becomes Tomei. Now we don't know Tomei. So we don't know if this woman had a Zohar or an Akeva. So you have to go to the worst case scenario. So you assume 14 days of Tuma, and then she'll have, you have to go the minimal scenario, she'll only have 30 days total of Tara, which normally for a boy would be after 7 days, there would be 23 days of Tara. So here we only have the remainder till 30 days, so it'll be 16 more days. From day 14 to day 16, she'll have any blood that she sees during that period of time. It's called Demei Tara. So in any event, this woman who miscarried, so when do we start her Tumah? Mon lo min harishon. We start from the first day, this Sunday, right before the Shkia. So that is day one of her days of Tumah, the 14 days of Tumah, of Tumas Leida. And this is true even if there is no blood. Obviously, if there's blood, so then it would be clear that we started. So here, this was what's called a Leida Yaveshta. So there was no blood. So all we have is the Shilya coming out. And as Rashi points out, there is no such thing as a shilya coming out. Ain't shilya below Vlad. So therefore, there was a miscarriage over here, and the Vlad Nebuch Sheni Muach Besocha, the miscarried child, the little fetus inside, got dissolved. So therefore, we don't see any fetal parts. But since the shilya came out on Sunday already, the first day, so that's the day that we start counting the Tumah. That's what Ula said in the name of Yelazar. But Rava questions this. Omele Rava, he says, wait a second, my day tchol chumra, what are you being machmer over here to say that we count the first day of Tumah from Sunday, day one, and not Monday from day two? But that leads to a kula. Chumra dasil de kulahu. Because now, when you count the 14 days of Tumah, you're starting from Sunday, day one. So you're going to go 14 days. So then on Shabbos, that's the 2 weeks later. On Shabbos, that's the conclusion of the 14 days. And then on the Sunday, 2 weeks later, that's going to be day 15. That's already Dam Tahara. But maybe not. Maybe the first day is really Monday. So therefore, that Sunday is really the 14th day of Tumah. And anything the woman touches should be Tumeya. But you're making a kula by saying we start counting from Sunday as day one and not Monday as day one. So that means you're going to end the 14 days on Shabbos and not on Sunday. And as a result, that's a Chumrah starting on Sunday that leads to a kula, because two Sundays later, which is day 15 according to that calculation, it really might be day 14 and she's still Tumeya. The commentary is Lomi Rishon, because you're counting the 14 days and therefore being Matara on the Sunday that is day 15, 2 weeks later. But maybe that's really only day 14. So this is a Chumrah that you're saying, oh, we should start counting from the Sunday to make her Tumeya, but it leads to a Kula in that the following 2 weeks later on day 15, which is the Sunday, she's still going to be Tumeya, but you're saying that she's Tahora. So Rava says, this is the way to explain it. El Amar Rava, this is really the din. We say over here, when Ula says in the name of Elazar, that we count from day one, it means L'chumra, we count from day one, but we also count from day two, L'chumra. In both days, we go L'chumra. So L'chush, to be concerned that maybe over here, the Shilya came out with the Vlad on that Sunday, and therefore Ein Shoya below Vlad. And therefore, we have to assume that she was Tameya already from that time. Yeah, we have to be choshish for that. But Mimna, to actually start counting from that day one for the 14 days of Tuma, and then day 50 will be Tahara, lo Mimnaya Ella Lasheni. Then we only start counting for day one being Monday. And therefore, day 14 will not be Shabbos. Day 14 will be Sunday 2 weeks later. And day 15 will be Monday 2 weeks later. Oh, that is L'chumra both ways. So that's how Rava says Ula Amar Belaza has to be understood. Now, what did Ula Amar Belaza come to teach us? Michael Mashlan, what was the Chiddush over here? That he's telling us that the Ein Mitzah Shoya below Vlad? Is he coming to teach us that even a part of a Shoya always had a Vlad in it, even though it's Nimuach, even though it's Nebuch dissolved? Is he teaching us that then, that Ein Shoya even b'miksas Yotza below Vlad, and therefore the woman is considered to have started to give birth already on that Sunday, on Yom Rishon? So the Gemara says, Tanina, we learned that already. There's a Beferish Mishnah in Chulin that tells us this. Shoya, Shiyotza, Miktsasa, if part of a Shoya went down, and here we're talking about an animal, because here we're talking about you're going to shech the mother. So normally when you shech the mother, any baby that's inside is considered shechted with the mother. So in this situation, where part of the baby inside the mother cow came out, and then it went back inside. So when you shech the mother now, after that shoya came out, so shoya, shiyotas l'mitzotze, if part of it came out, the Mishnah Chulin tells us, asur b'chila, even though now you shechted the mother, and everything inside is considered shechted, but not this uber, because part of this uber came out, and therefore, asur b'chila, this fetus that's inside this mother cow would not be allowed to be eaten because it considered it would have been born. And once it's born, it can't be shechted with the shechita of the mother. It would need its own shechita, but it's dead, so it can't have its own shechita. So therefore, asur v'achila. This fetus inside the mother cow, the mother animal, would be asur l'achila. Because simin v'lad be'isha, simin v'lad be'behema. Because part of the shoya coming out is considered birth because ain't shoya below v'lad. So therefore, part of this child was born. We have to be concerned that the majority of this child was born with the shoya that came out. And therefore, just like with the mother, we say that the child is born. So too, with the behemoth, we say that the child is considered to have been born. So if that's Ula's Chiddush, Ula Omer Elazar is telling us that Mitzah Shoya blow flat. So we learned that already from the Mishnah and Chulin. Why is Ula and Amora telling us that the Pharisees did in the Mishnah? We never find that. So Gemara says, no. If you're going to tell me that Ula had learned that Mishnah and that we could learn out Ula's din from the Mishnah, you're wrong. Because Havamina, I would have said, and we turn to Yud Aleph from the Beis, that if we just had the Mishnah Chulin that would teach us the Yesh Mitzah Shoya below Vlad, that taught us this din, that even if part of the Shoya came out, so we have to assume that the Vlad came out too, or at least concerned that the majority of the Vlad came out. If that's all you're going to tell me, that Mishnah Chulin taught us, I would have said, no, it's not because it's teaching us the din of Mitzah Shoya below Vlad. It's a Gzeira, Mitzasa Atukula. Because if you don't say over here that you can't eat the shoya in this situation, people are going to mistakenly say, it's not because of this din of Mitzah Shoya below Vlad. They're going to say, no, it's a gzeira that the rabbis made that maybe if the entire shoya came out, but there's no Vlad inside that's detectable, it was nimuach, it was dissolved. So the rabbi said, in that situation, people mistakenly may think, well, in the case where part of it came out and there was no Vlad detectable inside, you're allowed to eat it with the shechita of the mother. They'll say, even if the entire shoya came out, you're still allowed to eat it. So therefore, the rabbis made a gzeira by the Mishnah Chulin, gzeira mitzasa atu kula. This is a pure gzeira over here, because if we allowed you to have the shoya still to be eaten when part of it came out, because people are going to say it's because there was no Vlad. So even if the whole thing comes out, they can say there's no Vlad, you're allowed to eat it. So therefore, that was a gzeira. So if we only had that Mishnah, you wouldn't know Adin over here. Therefore, Kamash Vulan, Ula has to teach us that no, even a Mitzah Shoya below Vlad is a din that is considered a birth. It's not a gzeira. It's a din that it's considered a birth. And therefore, we have to be Choshesh that it's Sunday, and we also have to be Choshesh that it's Monday. But that's the din that Ula is teaching us, which we wouldn't have known from the din in Chulin, in and of itself, the Mishnah Chulin in and of itself. Okay, that's the second din that we have Ula saying the name of Elazar. Third one, Yomer Ula Amar Elazar, if you have a Bechor Nebuch Shenitrach B'Sol Shloshim Yom, you have a live-born, firstborn child that requires a pigeon of Ben if it lives beyond 30 days of birth. But Nebuch, he got hit by a truck. Shenitrach, this means shenarag, the baby didn't die a natural death. Rashi says if the baby was to die a natural death, so then there would be no pigeon of Ben. As Rashi says, in Diba Maskel Ein Podino, so Ain't tzarich lifto, so you don't have to do a pidyon haben over here if Nebuch the child was killed before 30 days by a truck. And dealing over here, Bedavka, Rashi says, with a baby that was killed, via mace me'atzel, but if it died on its own, Nebuch the child was sickly, has a heart problem, and Nebuch dies on day 10, so then lo itzrich lon lemeimah, then we wouldn't need any din to teach us that you don't have a pidyon haben, because the pasuk tells us, uf tuyav mi ben chodesh tifteh, that you only will redeem the child when it's 30 days old. But here, in our situation, the child looks fully mature and looks like it certainly would have lived beyond 30 days. It's a fully mature child that's born. It wasn't sickly, and Nebuchadnezzar got hit by a truck. So therefore, in this situation, you might have thought that you should do a pidyon haben. So therefore, Ula Omar Elazar comes along to tell us, ain't poden or so. No, you don't do a pidyon haben, even though it probably, if it had lived to 30 days, would have survived. Now, Tosos, Dibra Maskel, Bechor Shnitra B'Soch Lamed Yom, disagrees with Rashi. First brings down Rashi, Pirusha Kontra Shinerag, but dealing over here specifically with the baby was killed. Uve Meis Me'atzmo Lo Itzdruch Kra Liashmi Inon, Dein Poden. And as Rashi had said, you don't need a pasuk if the baby was sickly and it dies that you don't do a pidyon haben, because again, the pasuk P'luyah Be'Bechor Shtifteh. Avonerag itzrich lashmina. Rashi specifically is telling us only if it was killed. The lo aminun ilav the iktal hevichai. We don't say, well, if it hadn't been killed by this truck, so then it would have survived. Lo navel heavy, and it's certainly not a navel. It was fully born. It was born at the right time. It looks fully mature. It's been eating well. It's been thriving. So there's no reason to think that this baby is a navel. Ulapirke mashmaktsas, from Rashi's understanding, Tosa says, and this is what Tosa has a problem with Rashi, the imkim lon begave, the kolulu chadoshov, the chai, hoyachai livdoso. So then, according to this rationale, that Rashi is saying it's only when it's killed, but then in any situation, we are 100% certain that this child is not an atho, so that you just have to do a pidyon haben. And that means that if you did a pidyon haben, and then the child just survived, you don't have to do it again. But it's kasha from the Gemara in Bechoros, in Perkei Yesh Bechor. So it says, Gabi poda b'no toch lamed yom. If somebody did a pidyon haben on day 15, he was so eager to do the mitzvah pidyon haben, so a relatively rare mitzvah, and he does the pidyon haben on day 15. And then the money's not there. The kohen used up all the money. He gave the kohen the 5 slime. And it's nach lo mos liachas man. And at day 30, none of those mos are left. So ain't b'no poda. He has to go redeem the child again. Now, Tosa says, if you hold like Rashi, v'amai, v'igloi milsalam afreya, it turns out retroactively that we see that when he did the pidyon haben on day 15, it was a live-born child. It wasn't an aphel. And the fact is, the child lived beyond 30 days. As a shem, lived to be 120 years old. So, the low aphel, it's not an aphel. Ella, what? The pidyon haben is not good. So, v'adai gzeres akosofi. So, it's a pure din, whether the child is kolu shnosav, whether it is a full-born child, or even if it's not, if it lives to 30 days, you do a pidyon haben. If it doesn't live to 30 days, you don't do a pidyon haben. Because the pasuk says, even if you know for a fact that this child is definitely completed, it's a term baby, and it's going to, Be'ezus Hashem, survive beyond 30 days, not a nafel, tzarich lamid yom, you must have 30 days. Okay, so this different understanding over here between Rashi and Tosus. Bottom line is, Ula said on the name of Elazar that this Bechor Shnitra B'Tosh Shloshim Yom ain't potent, so it doesn't have a pidyon haben requirement. And likewise, V'chein Tani Rami Rechama. Rami Rechama said the same thing, because the pasuk says, Ach Padosh Sifteh Eis Bechor Ha'adam. So the pasuk says, Rami Rechama brings down Mitosh Shnemar Padosh Sifteh. It uses this double lashon. I might have thought, Yochel Afilu Nitra B'Tosh Shloshim Yom, that you have to do a pidyon haben. I might have said that the reason why it says Padosh Sifteh is to tell us whether it's before 30 days. And certainly, if it's after 30 days, that it requires a pidyon haben. So the double lashon would tell me, even before 30 days, as long as it survives to day 30, it requires a pidyon haben. If it's kolu chadashav. So in that situation, you might have thought that yochal afilu nitrap so shol shem yom that you chay pidyon haben. Talmud Lomar, the pasuk starts up with a miut. Ach pado sifteh is b'chor adam. So Talmud Lomar, ach is cholak, to tell us, no, only 30 days and not before 30 days. That's din number 3 of Ula Omar B'Elazar. The fourth din, Amar Ula Amar Rabbi Lazar, Behema Gasa Niknes Mashicha. Now, we didn't have that long ago in Kedushin. We discussed many of the dinim of making a kinyan. A Behema Daka is a small Behema, like a sheep or a goat, and a Behema Gasa is like a cow. So, for a Behema Gasa, Ula said in the name of Rabbi Elazar, in order to make a kinyan, Reuven selling his behemah gas at the Shimon, so how does Shimon acquire it? Nikneis b'mishicha. He has to bring it from one rishus into the other rishus. So he brings it, let's say, from Reuven selling to Shimon. So Shimon has to take it from Reuven's rishus and bring it into his own rishus. So take it from the rishus Rabin where it is and bring it into his own rishus, or bring it into a simta on the side of the rishus Rabin. He has to change the rishus. He has to mishicha. He has to pull it into his own rishus. That's how you make a kinyan on a behemah gasa. That's what Ula said in Rabbi Elazar. Where it says, wait a second, but there's a beferish mishnah, the kedushin, that says v'anan tinan mesira, that all you have to do is hand over the reins, and that's enough. He doesn't have to pull it towards him. Just giving over the reins for behemah gasa is enough. So how come Ula on Rabbi Elazar says you must do mishicha? Mesira is enough. Mesira is an easier kinyan. So the Gemara says, Ula Amr of Elazar doesn't hold like that Mishnah in Kiddushin. Who the Amr Kihaitan? He holds like a different Tana. The Tanya, because we learned in the Brice over there in Kiddushin that it tells us the Chachamim Amrim Zu Vezu B'Mashicha. Both the Behema Gasa and the Behema Daka can be acquired by Mashicha, but not by Mesira. So you need to do Mashicha according to the Chachamim, and albeit that argues with the Mishnah in Kiddushin, but this is a Tanaic opinion of the Chachamim, and Ula Amr of Elazar holds like the Tana in the Brice, the Chachamim in the Brice, rather than the Tana of the Mishnah. By the way, this is thrown in as an aside. Rabbi Shimon Omer, zu v'zu b'hagba. Rabbi Shimon says, no, even a behemah gasa, you have to lift it up. And the Gemara in Kedushin, if you remember, said, how do you go lift up an elephant? How are you ever going to make a kinyan on an elephant or a large animal? So it said, and Rashi brings down over here, you put down a bundle of sticks, and the elephant goes and puts its feet up on the sticks, and that's how you make a kinyan hagba, since you put the sticks down, and the elephant then stepped on it, so that's as if you lifted up the elephant. Okay. Gemara continues with a fifth din of Ula Amar Belazar. Ula Amar Belazar, ha'achin shechoku. You have two brothers that are dividing up the state of their father. So each gets 50%. No Bukhar is straightforward. Reuven gets 50%, Shimon gets 50%. So how do you divide up the estate? So do you count the clothing that they're wearing? So the Ula Amar Belazar tells us, Masha aleim shaman. Yeah, you evaluate what they're wearing. So if they're wearing clothing from the estate, it's not their own clothing, the estate purchased their clothing. So therefore, Reuven's suit is worth $100 and Shimon's suit is only worth $50. So then you have to calculate that Reuven already got $100 and Shimon only got $50. However, Masha b'neim uvenoseim, but what their children are wearing, their daughters and their sons, so even though the estate purchased them, ain't shaman. We don't take that into account. Why? So Rashi explains, because it's embarrassing. Normally, little children don't come to court. So Rashi says that in this situation, the kivan debanu b'nos lo asu lebedina lo mevazin lo lemeisi. We don't go and embarrass them to go bring it to the court. Everybody look at them. Oh, that suit's worth $20. Oh, that suit's worth $30. That dress worth $40. So we don't embarrass them. So therefore, everybody is meichel, and each of them says, okay, I will make you bring your son and daughter in. You don't make me bring my son and daughter in. And everybody is moichel. Now, Tosus points out, again, in Diva Masul Masha al B'neim, so he brings down, Shemiz Baishin Laviyim Lebeisin, as Rashi pointed out. However, he says, in this situation, because they say, okay, I won't make you embarrass your kids, you don't make me embarrass my kids, and we'll just take it, whatever they have, that's that. However, Upasak Rav Alphas, the Rif says, Dafka Big Day Chol. This is only for the clothing that they're wearing, their weekday clothing. Abba Big Day Shabbos Shomim. But the clothing that is in the closet, the Shabbos clothing, yeah. You go, and he brings down the Yushami, says the same thing. That you go have to evaluate. Now, Rav Papa qualifies this did a little bit. Back to the Gemara. Amr Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, Pa'amim Af Mashalein in Shomim. Sometimes, Rav Papa says, you don't even go and evaluate the clothing that they're wearing. We said mashalei and shamim, but he says sometimes there's an exception to the rule. And for example, mishkachas lo bigodol achi, with the oldest brother who's basically managing the estate on behalf of all the other children. So he's going to go and buy and sell stuff, so he has to look good. So he has to go and wear nice clothing. So he's saying, listen, I don't want the nice clothing for myself. I'm basically using a nice clothing to make sure that everybody gets the best possible deal. If I walk into the other guy's office and I look like a schlump, they're going to try to take advantage of me. If I look like I'm a stupid businessman wearing a fancy, expensive suit, so then they're going to say, hey, they're dealing with a hush of a guy, and I'll be able to make a better deal. So therefore, when the oldest brother is wearing a fancy suit, you can't say, well, that's what he got from the estate, and we'll just not calculate against that for all the other brothers. No, because the nichol hu lishtabun milei. Everybody, all the other brothers say, no, let him buy the $500 suit. We'll take a $100 suit. He can have a $500 suit because he's representing us. And Tosus points out, Begodol Achi, he says, that's Im Mochin Harishus Biyodim. But if they want to protest and say, no, we don't want him to, I will cause Man Shalom Michu, if they're saying, okay, yeah, we're Mochin, you can have the fancy suit. But if they say, no, who says you get the fancy suit? We don't believe that for a second. So you're buying a $500 suit for yourself, and that comes off your share of the estate. So, Mistama Nichalu, but the default position is that they agree with this. But if they actively protest and say, no, we don't want you to get that $500 suit, that's coming off your share of the estate. So then it does come off his share of the estate. Okay. That's the fifth din of Ula Amar Lazar. Ula Amar Lazar says another din. Ula Amar Lazar, Shomer, Shemasel, Shomer. You have here a person, Reuven, who is a Shomer. We'll see in a moment what type of Shomer he was. And he was then giving over his Shmira to Shimon. Now, Shomer, Shemasel, Shomer, Potter. So Ula Amar Belazar tells us that if Reuven, the Shomer, gives over his responsibilities to Shimon, the Shomer, so then Reuven will be Potter for anything that he would have been Potter for if he had still been watching the animal. What does this mean? So, Velomi Boyer, we don't have to tell me the din that if Reuven was a Shomer Chinam, and Shemasa, the Shomer Sachar, and he gives it over to Shimon, who's a Shomer Sachar. So Tosis explains, certainly we can assume that the Shomer Sachar, who's being paid, is going to be a better Shomer for everything than a Shomer Chinam. So even though Reuven's upgrading the Aluye Aliye L'Shmiraso, he's upgrading the Shmira from being watched by a Shomer Chinam to now being watched by a Shomer Sachar. So in this situation, one would have said certainly that he's Potter, because he did a better Shmira. He would be Chayiv for Shia, but he would be Potter for Gneva Veda. But Reuven giving it over to Shimon, Shimon is now being paid. So Shimon's going to be Chayiv for Gneva Veda. He's going to watch it better. Nevertheless, you don't have to tell me that case. Loma Boy Kamar, you don't have to tell me that case. But even Ela Afilu Shomer Socher, if Reuven was a Shomer Socher, Shemasel Shomer Chinam, and he gave it over to Shomer Chinam. Now, obviously, if there's Gneva Veda, Reuven will still be Chayiv, because even though Shimon is Potter, he didn't do anything negligent, but he's Potter for Gneva Veda, so of course Reuven should be Chayiv. But let's say even it was Onsen, it was a hurricane that came along and broke everything. So even though in that situation it went to a lower level Shmira, the Hashta Gurue Gari L'Shmira, so because Shimon is a Shomer Chinam, so he decreased Reuven's level of Shmira. But if it was Onsen, something for which Reuven would have been Potter anyway, so then Nami Potter, he's still Potter in this situation. Because, after all, Shari Mosel Ben Das, because he gave it over to a Ben Das. The Shimon was a competent Shomer, albeit a Shomer Chinam, certainly if he's a Shomer Sacha, but even as a Shomer Chinam, if there was Onsen, so Reuven still is going to be Potter. That's the way that Ula Amar Velozah is to be understood. Rava doesn't like that. Rava Amar says, Adar Rava, the exact opposite. Rava Amar, no. Shomer, Shemasel, Shomer, Chayiv. I disagree with you. If Reuven is a Shomer and gives it over to another Shomer, no matter what, Reuven is going to be Chayiv. Why? Because you don't have to tell me, Velomi Boy, even if he downgraded the Shmira, even Velomi Boy, Shomer Socha, Reuven was a Shomer Socha, Shemasel, Shomer Chinam, and he gives it to a lesser watcher who's not going to be so zealous in watching it. The Gorui, Gari, the Shmira, so it's a lower level of Shmira because he's a Shomer Chinam, and Reuven was a Shomer Socha. So certainly there, one would say that Reuven is going to be Chayiv. Even if Reuven was a Shomer Chinam and he upgraded it, so one could have argued, well, Reuven is making it a better Shmira, so therefore he should be Potter, like Ula Amar of Elazar had said. No, the Amalei, because the person who owns this object that gave it over to Reuven, said, listen, you're an honest guy. I know you. I trust you. At Mehemnes Libishua, if you had said you swear you weren't negligent, so you I would believe. This guy, you may think he's trustworthy, but hi, lo mehem libishua. I don't know that guy. I don't think he's trustworthy. And when he's going to swear that it was an ones, I'm not going to believe him. So therefore, I believed you. I don't have to believe him. So Rav has pum faker, the exact understanding over here of Ula Amar B'Elazar. The final din from Ula Amar B'Elazar is as follows. Rav Ula Amar B'Elazar, Hilchasa Govim Minhu Avodim. Now, what do we mean over here? We know that if a person, Reuven, borrows money from Shimon, so Reuven owes Shimon the money. What happens if Reuven can't pay it back? So then you go into the lien properties of Reuven. Now, karka is something that always is able to be taken from. But how do we view other properties? So if he has metaltalin, so then you can go into his metaltalin. But if he sold metaltalin, you can't go into, say, those metaltalin were leaned. Only karka is leaned. Now, how do we view avodim? Avodim, in some ways, the Gemara tells us elsewhere, are like karka, but in some ways they're like metaltalin. So that's the question that Ula Amar Velaz is addressing now. Hilchasa, govim minhu avodim, that the Baal Chov is allowed to go and even take avodim. Now, under what circumstances are we talking about? Amalei Rav Nachman Ula. Rav Nachman asks Ula, what are you talking about over here? When you're quoting Rabbi Lazar, Amar Lazar, Afilu Miyasme? Are you telling me this is like leaned property that you can even take it from the Yisomim? Let's say Reuven, the father who had borrowed the money, died. So now he gave over his inheritance. Avodim. He didn't have karka. If it was karka, of course you can take it even from the leaned karka, even from the Yisomim, certainly from somebody else that they sold it to. But the avodim that he gave over, can you go collect like it's karka from those avodim for this lien? So Ula tells him, lo, no. That you can't do. Only minei, only from the person himself. That's what Ula says right now. We'll see in a moment when Rav Nachman leaves, Ula changes his opinion. He says, no, you can even collect from the Yisomim, this Avodim. So now the Gemara says, wait a second. Are you telling me over here you can only collect from the guy himself, minei? So what's the Chiddush? Afilu miglima, da'al kasfei. You're allowed to collect any metaltalim from it. Why would the Avodim be different than any other metaltalim? Granted, you want to call Avodim metaltali and not karka, but you can take the shirt off his back. Tosus points out, it's not literally the shirt off his back. He has to have two shirts. Tosus says that if he only has one shirt, then we don't actually collect it from him. So it means that you could take a shirt that he owns. If he has two shirts, you can take even the one off his back. You have to leave him with something to wear. But the bottom line is, you can take any metaltali from him. So why would I need Ula Amar Belazit to tell me that you could take his avodim metaltali? You could take any metaltali from him if he can't pay back his debt and he's around. So the Gemara says, no. You know what we're dealing with over here? Shaso apotiki. Apotiki, Rashi tells us, apo tehe koi. That's when Reuven borrowed money from Shimon. He says, as collateral is going to be this eved. Apo, from over here, tehe koi. You will be able to stand, you will be able to go and take this eved. So this eved is now basically the collateral for this loan. And therefore, kidirava, as it's Rava said, what did Rava say? The other Rava. Also, abdo apotiki, if you made your eved to be the apotiki, po tehe koi, from here you go collect, and then Reuven sells this eved, umecharo, nevertheless, it's as if there's still a lien on that eved. Balchov go vehemenu. The Balchov, if Reuven doesn't have anything to collect from, can go to collect from that eved, even though that eved doesn't have the status of karka, but since it's an apotiki, so it's like karka in this situation, and he's allowed to, the Balchov can go and go vehemenu, can go take it from the person that Reuven sold the eved to, and go get that eved from him to pay back the loan, because the eved is the collateral. As opposed to shoro apotiki, umcharo, if Reuven had made the shor the apotiki, pote koi, you go collect from the shor, and then he sold the shor, so then ein bachov gove menu, you can't go and collect from the shor. Now, obviously, the question is, why is the eved different than the shor? My timer, why can you go collect the apotiki as an eved, but you can't go collect the apotiki from a shor? So Gemara says, very simple answer, title. When you go and sell the eved, so everybody knows, oh, that eved used to belong to him. The eved himself can say, hey, listen, I'm an apotiki. Don't buy me. You may lose me. So everyone is going to be aware that this eved is an apotiki, and therefore you can't say, well, he didn't know about it. He did know about it. As opposed to the shor, there's 100 shor in this flock. He has plenty of shor. How do you know this shor versus that shor? It has no call to it, and therefore the buyer can't beware, and therefore you can't go collect from the shor that's an apotiki, but you can collect from the eved that is an apotiki. Okay, so that's what Ula had responded to Rav Nachman, and he explained it in the following way, and Rav Nachman leaves. Okay, Lebasa de Nafak, after Rav Nachman left the base of Madrash, so Amalu Ula, Ula tells everybody, guess what? When I said before that you can't collect from the Yisomim, no, that's not true. In fact, Hochim or Rav Lazar had stated, Afilu Miyasme, that you can collect this Eved as collateral, it's a leaned Eved even from the Yisomim. When Rav Nachman heard about this, Rav Nachman ishtantin Ula. Ula was afraid of me. He pushed me aside. He didn't want to tell me this din while I was around. As Rashi said, nishmat mimeni v'yori. He was afraid to go and tell this before night in front of me because he holds the sfirle abdo kimutatli dami umisari hushema akapchenu behalochos ubekushas. So he holds that this eved is like karka, and I hold the eved is like metaltli, and he's afraid that I'm going to slug him up, and he said, this is what Rabbi Lazar said, but he's not going to be able to uphold Rabbi Lazar's din, so he didn't want to tell it in front of me, because he knew I would slug him up. That's why ishtamtin Ula. He was scared of me, and he waited until I left the room to say over this din. No. How do we paskin? Have a uvda ben Nardoi. There once was such a beis din convened in Nardoi to address whether you could go collect from the eved, the agbu dayone de Nardoi, and the dayone of Nardoi said that the eved is treated over here as karka, and they allowed the Baal Chov to go collect from the Yisomim, exactly as Ula had said in the name of Rabbi Lazar. Likewise, Habu Uvdi Pumbedisa, the ones with such a case in Pumbedisa, the Adi Rechana, Bar Bizna, from the Yisomim. So Rav Chana bar Biza did the same thing as the Dayanim in Ardai, exactly as Ula said the name of Elazar. And along comes Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was like the Supreme Court judge in that area. And he said, listen, you're making a mistake. Zilu Ahaduru, return the money. Return the Eved back to the Yisomim. You didn't have a right to go and collect it on behalf of the Bachov. And if you don't, below, you're Tobab Dar Mishnah, Magbinon Lechu Lapan Daichu. I'm going to go take it out of your house and take it out of your mansion. I'm going to take it out of your personal possessions because you made a mistake. And if you don't go correct it then, I'm going to make you go and pay out of your own pocket. Now, Rav Nachman is very strong over here saying that the judges in Ardai are wrong, the judges of Pumbedisa are wrong, Ulam Rav Elazar is wrong. So, Amalei Rav Rav Nachman. So, Rav very politely goes and asks Rav Nachman, wait a second, ha Ula. Ula said this name of Rav Elazar. Ha Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar holds that way too. Ha Dayanim Darimdai. Ha Rav Chana bar Bizna. And the Dayanim in Pumbedisa. So, everybody holds against you. Mar, you. Rav Nachman, Kiman Sirle, who do you hold like that you're saying the Eved is considered like Metatli? They're all saying the Eved is considered like Karka. So I'm like, Rav Nachman says to Rava, I know Masnisu Yadana. I have a Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us in Gittin that the Tani Avime, that Avime said in that Mishnah, Peruzbul Chol Al Karka, when you make a Peruzbul, so you make sure that your debts that are owed shouldn't be nullified at the end of the Shemitah year. Some say at the beginning of the Shemitah year, we pass at the end of the Shemitah year. So you make a Peruzbul. This is a takana that was good for the rich people and for the poor people because it encouraged loans to be made, because otherwise people aren't going to give any loans towards the end of the Shemitah, because they say, hey, the guy's going to not have to pay me back. The Shemitah's is mashmetes. The Shemitah nullifies the loan. So they would hand it over to Beis Din, and Beis Din could collect even after the Shemitah. So that's the din of Pruzbul. So Pruzbul can only be effective if you have karka. So Pruzbul chol al karka, ain't chol al avadim. The Mishnah there states that it can't go and take effect on avadim. So you can't make a Pruzbul on avadim, because avadim are metaltali and not karka. And likewise, metaltalin nikninim a karka, when you do a kinyan agav, you sell somebody karka, and along with the karka, agav, it doesn't have to literally be on it, but it means just with the karka, you're also acquiring metaltali, so that's allowed. However, they nikdin of avadim. You can't sell an eved and say, along with the eved, you should also get certain metaltali. That doesn't work. You can make a kinyan agav with karka, you can't make a kinyan agav with an eved. So clearly, from this Mishnah, but Pruzbul, and a kinyan agav, you see that, in fact, an eved is considered metaltali. That's my opinion, Rav Nachman says, and they're all wrong for saying that the eved is like metaltali. So that's Rav Nachman's understanding of this machlokas. And now tomorrow we're going to say lemo kitanoi, but this is a good break point. So we'll leave this discussion. They say this is the machlokas between Rav Nachman and all these other amoraim. Is also machlokas tanoim. We'll pick that up tomorrow, and we'll conclude today's shiur. B'ezras Hashem, there should be shalom al Yisrael. Have a great day.